Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
These gifts are evidence of the great love that our Savior has for us. Grace is grace upon grace, and He gives us these gifts so that an unbelieving world will see something of the mighty grace of God.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, Senior Pastor at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Each follower of Jesus Christ has been given a unique spiritual gift to use for the glory of God. Today on The Verdict, we're taking a closer look at each of the gifts presented by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans and learning how they all fit together in the body of Christ. Now, let's join Pastor John Monroe for his message, Use Your Gift.
When we love someone, we often show our love to them by giving them a gift. In love, Jesus Christ has given a gift to each of His followers. Today we're continuing our study of the book of Romans in chapter 12. We have seen the importance of humility and unity in the body of Christ and to appreciate its diversity. Paul is now presenting another evidence of God's grace to us. Every authentic follower of Jesus has received a spiritual gift. This gift is to be used for the glory of God and to help others. This gift is a display of the grace of God. Let's now continue on the subject of using your gift as we look at Romans chapter 12.
I got married many years ago, living in Scotland, my bride from Scandinavia in the Faroe Islands, and the customs were very different in Scotland and in Scandinavia about getting married. So I asked Goodney, I said, now, is there anything I need to know? I want to do the right thing. And she said, well, this is not a demand, but it is customary for the groom to buy the bride a piece of jewelry. I'm terrible at buying jewelry and had had very little experience of it. And so I consulted with my sister-in-law and bought, I thought, a beautiful gold necklace, which I presented to my bride on the day we got married. Now, you could ask, why should I do that? Did I think my bride isn't beautiful enough that she needs something else? No, that's not the thing. The fact is, when you love someone, you want them to look good. You want to enhance the beauty. Is the Church of Jesus Christ beautiful? It is absolutely beautiful. We sang it. How beautiful is the body of Christ? Is it loved by Christ? Yes, He loved the church and gave Himself up for her. And just to think of this, so that we, the Church of Jesus Christ, yes, with some ugly spots, that's true, and with some failures that you can point to and say, they really messed that up, and that is true. But the big picture is this, that we, the church, is a thing of beauty. How beautiful is the body of Christ? And to enhance that beauty, and to declare that beauty, and to display that beauty, so that all, even the angels, Paul says, the wisdom of God is declared to them through the church in Ephesians 3, so that people will understand something of the manifold grace of God. These gifts are grace gifts, and grace should always, always accompany these gifts. Using your gift without grace, without love, divides rather than unifies. Using your gift without grace destroys rather than upbuilds. It creates pride rather than humility. But these gifts are evidence of the great love that our Savior has for us, not just in dying on the cross for our sins. He did that, but His grace is grace upon grace, and He gives us these gifts so that an unbelieving world will see something of the mighty grace of God. That's why Scripture is full of one another's, isn't it? Love one another. Bear one another's burdens. Pray for one another, encourage one another, help one another. Oh, these grace gifts are used by us to express our love for one another. Yes, we can say, I love you, brother, I love you, sister. And that's good, that's fitting, that's appropriate. But how much more to demonstrate our love by serving others as we use these gifts and so preserving the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So each one of us has received a gift. Secondly, use your gift willingly and wholeheartedly. Again, verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Are you using your gift? Now notice what Paul says here. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, first one he mentions is the gift of prophecy. Now in a narrow sense, this gift of prophecy was a foundational gift. Paul says in Ephesians 2 verse 20 that the church is built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. And in the first century church, those who had this gift before the canon of Scripture is completed received direct revelation from God, not mediated through Scripture, but directly from God, and then they were able to declare it to others, as the apostles did, as the prophets did. But in that sense, there are no prophets today, in that narrow sense, and there are no apostles today. I know people claim to be apostle. If you can raise someone from the dead, you can make that claim, but otherwise, I don't claim to be an apostle. But in a broader sense, this gift of prophecy may be a public proclamation declaring God's word for a particular situation. Acts chapter 15, verse 32. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, what did they do? They encouraged and strengthen the brothers with many words. They're encouraging, they're strengthening. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. So this gift of prophecy, in a sense, like all of the gifts, is for the edification of the body. Now, are there people receiving direct revelation from God today? I realize there are many people who claim that. But let me tell you, we have all of the Scriptures. The canon of Scripture is closed. There is no new extra biblical revelation. I know people claim that. But notice what Paul says here. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, not a particularly good translation in my view. It is in accordance, the ESV says, in proportion to our faith. The Greek word is analogia, from which we get analogy. And in the original Greek, it is in accordance with the analogy of the faith. Not just our faith, not my faith, but the faith. So Paul is referring not so much to the act of believing, but to that which we believe. That is, the prophecy, the declaration of the Word of God is always to be in accordance with the Christian faith, in accordance with the faith once delivered, and we must always, always test what we hear, what we read, what we see against the authority of this book. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we're very, very gullible. And someone who is well known writes a book and claims to receive these voices from heaven, and we think, oh, this is as important as Scripture, as if Scripture is not enough. I heard a clip during this week of one of these prosperity preachers who believes that words, our words, can create reality. And so the preacher is saying, you take your checkbook, and if you've got very little in it, or if it's in a debit, you just speak to your checkbook and say, be full, checkbook, may God bless us. And she said, and all of the money will just pour into your account. Have you ever heard such nonsense? That is said by someone who is very, 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 very rich. Have you noticed the prosperity preachers, how rich they are? It sells. This is what God told me. I'm going to take my checkbook and say, be full. Heaven, come down and fill my bank account. Paul is saying, no. It's always got to be in accordance with the faith. Whether it's from this pulpit, whether it's something you hear on TV or a video or read in a book, always, my dear brothers and sisters, always, always test it against Scripture. Now, there's another gift here, verse 7. If service in our serving. The word here is diakonia, from which we get our word deacon. What is a deacon? It is a servant, one who serves. This is a gift of serving, particularly in practical ways. It was used in Acts 6 for the men who served the widows in a very practical way. This gift calls for real humility and servanthood. There are those who have this gift of serving. And you get great joy in serving others, an evidence of God's grace in your life. There's another one here, verse 7, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching. The gift of teaching. This gift is the ability systematically to explain and teach truth. It's the ability to study the Word of God and to communicate it in an accurate, clear, and orderly way. And also the ability to refute false doctrine. Now, all of this teaching isn't done necessarily from the pulpit. It's done on one-on-one discipleship. It's done in study groups. Some of you get together through the week with two or three of you, and you open the Scriptures, and there is one there. While you all are interested in Scripture, there is often an individual who has a particular gift of teaching, of explaining. Now, if you've got the gift of teaching, teach, use it. There are plenty of people to be taught. There's a great need in the contemporary church for teachers of doctrine, of the Scriptures. So many professing Christians are living on hype, living on just high emotion, but there is no foundation of the solid Word of God. One of the qualifications for the elder is that they are to have the ability to teach, the gift of teaching. But there is a caution. Listen to James. In James chapter 3, verse 1, he says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. So be careful. Before you rush off and start teaching, make sure you have the gift and make sure you're studying the Word of God. I take my teaching, my preaching very, very seriously. My passion in life is to glorify God through the exposition of His Word. I take that as a tremendous privilege, but as a very, very weighty responsibility. I read recently, at one point, John Calvin, the great reformer living in Geneva, Switzerland, was banished from Geneva for a period of 3 years. And Calvin was committed to the consecutive teaching of the Word of God. So he's banished from 3 years. He returns to the pulpit, and you know what he preached on? He picked up the next verse that followed his previous preaching 3 years ago. It's like as if I'm away for 3 years, and I come back, and I say, okay, last time I spoke, I was in Romans 12, verse 8. Open your Bibles to Romans 12, verse 9. I love that about Calvin because it shows a high regard, not for his own brilliance, brilliant theologian he was, but his submission and his commitment to the Word of God, the gift of teaching. There's another one, verse 8, the one who exhorts in his exhortation. This gift of exhortation helps others with their spiritual progress. This is the ability to encourage, to admonish, to counsel, to comfort people in specific situations. If you're a critic, if you're a negative person, you do not have the gift of exhortation. This is the very opposite. I praise God for those of you who have the gift of exhortation. How we need it. It's a tough world that we're living in, isn't it? Many broken hearts, many broken homes, many crises. And some of you come and you take the Word of God and you sit down with a brother or a sister, sometimes just one-on-one, and you help them to apply the Word of God to their lives. If people come to you for counsel and for advice because they appreciate your commitment to the Word of God, you may well have the gift of exhortation. Again in verse 8, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes, the one who gives in generosity. Now, we're all to give generously, but there are those who have the gift of giving. It took me a while to understand this, that some believers have a particular gift of giving. They are very, very sensitive to the needs of others. They don't need financial appeals. They don't need to play a game of golf before they're going to give to a ministry or to a church. They give cheerfully. They give generously. They give liberally. Why? Because they're giving it to the Lord, not to tell other people about it, not with an ulterior motive, but giving as unto the Lord. You say, well, this is just for wealthy people. No. Some of the poorest people I know have the gift of giving. We talk about people who would give the shirt off their back. My grandfather was like that, a poor man. He'd have given anything if you needed it. So it's not a matter of saying, well, I don't have much money. This is not for me. It may well be you. Have you ever thought you might have the gift of giving? The very opposite of this. The very opposite of saying, well, there's wealthy people. They can pay for the things. I'm just going to hold on to what I have. No, here is someone who experiences the grace of God in their hearts and their giving with generosity. Be generous in your giving. Verse 8, here's another one. The one who leads with zeal. If you have the gift of leadership, lead and do it with zeal. Do it with diligence. The church is not a democracy. Leadership is vital in the church. And the gift of leadership involves seeing the big picture. There are people with vision who could lead the church in ways that others will follow. If you think you're a leader and no one is following you, you're not a leader. It's like the person who was up in the mountains and he sees the scoutmaster. And the scoutmaster says to the hiker, have you seen a number of scouts? I'm their leader. No, he's not their leader. They're not following him. They're away doing their own thing. You find people are following you. You feel you have an influence on people. Do that with zeal. Do that with eagerness. Do that with diligence. Is leading spiritually in your family, in the church, in your life group, is that easy? No, it's very, very difficult. And therefore, says Paul, do it with zeal. And then the last one, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. People with this gift reach out to those in the church, in the community who may well be overlooked, who are sick, who are poor, who are distressed, who are disabled, who are hurting. And some of us may see them and say, oh, it's too bad about brother so-and-so. But the person who's the gift of mercy draws close to that person and does it not because there's a program, not because they've been told to do it, but to do it with cheerfulness. Who wants to receive mercy from someone if it's not done cheerfully? If it's just done out of a routine? I praise God for the many at Calvary Church who have a gift of mercy. How you reach out to people who are shut in. Reach out to people who are at home recovering from surgery and bringing them a meal and drawing close to them, making a call to them, visiting people and doing it with a smile. People who have the gift of mercy are thoughtful, they're practical, they're kind. The rest of us may think, well, it would be a good thing if someone did such and such, but if you've got the gift of mercy, not only are you kind, but you're thoughtful, and your thoughtfulness is translated into action, giving yourself away to others with cheerfulness. What about you? Are you serving? Do you have a sense of what your gift is? Have you ever prayed to God if you're not sure? You say, well, I don't know where to begin. Begin by serving. Where there's a need, meet it. We need to understand the importance of community. Do you seek the good of the church when you serve? Or are you just concerned about looking good in front of others? Or are you only doing it to feel good about yourself? Only concerned about your needs being met. I hope your needs are being met. But how wonderful it is, isn't it, when we come together with all of our diversity, with all of our abilities, with all of our differences. Can I say with all of our idiosyncrasies? Because sometimes we're an odd bunch of people, aren't we? And we come together and something marvelous happens. Three responses. Be thankful for your gift. You have received a special gift, a unique gift, and God will give you all of the help you need as you serve Him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you use your gift. You serve and be thankful. Secondly, be humble. Please, can I say particularly to those of you who are gifted, who are very gifted, don't use your gift to show off. Don't use your gift to draw attention to yourself. Remember, it's an act of grace. Be humble. And then be active. Use your gift. You see, when we accept this challenge of total commitment, it impacts our relationship with Christ. Of course it does. We surrender everything to Him. It impacts our attitude, an attitude of humility and helpfulness. But the service of others inevitably flows, doesn't it? And if you're not involved in serving the Lord, something has gone wrong. And perhaps it's because you've never yet personally received the grace of God. Paul says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He were rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty may be made rich. I trust you know what it means to be saved by grace and will use your gift to glorify God and to help others. Father, help us, we do pray. We thank You for the beautiful body of Christ. We confess that we're far from perfect. Sometimes we misuse our gifts. Sometimes we don't use our gifts. Sometimes we're cocky. Sometimes we act superior over others. Forgive us, Father. And I pray that we will humble ourselves under Your mighty hand and that You'll pour Your grace into our hearts. In Christ's name.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the conclusion of a message titled, Use Your Gift. Now, as we continue in the fourth part of our ongoing study in the Book of Romans, I want to tell you about the exclusive resource we're offering our listeners. It's a guidebook prepared by John, packed with insightful content and helpful resources designed to supplement each of these daily lessons. You'll find summaries, additional context and discussion, personal devotions, and questions for application, plus a place for your own notes and reflections. It's called Romans, The Transformation of the Gospel. And it's free to download or request by mail. Just go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict to request your copy. There you can also get our previous Roman study guides for chapters 1 through 11. And don't forget to sign up for our monthly email list to stay in the loop on the latest ministry news. Again, it's all at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. As we close today, consider making your own impact in the lives of other listeners by helping us share these daily messages from God's Word. Our ministry relies on the generous donations of fellow believers who share our passion for sharing the gospel. You can send your gift of any amount by going to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. You can also find us on social media. We're excited to announce that The Verdict is now on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just log into your account and search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Now, with his closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Are you using the spiritual gift the risen Christ has given you to glorify God and to help others? Isn't it fascinating to see how the different gifts allow us to work together as the body of Christ? As you pursue a life of total commitment, look for opportunities to use your gift and demonstrate the grace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next time, we'll see how we are to be genuine in our love for others. We will learn that authentic love is essential to practical Christianity.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.